Lisa Lieberman is the author of a book called Leaving You, The Cultural Meaning of Suicide. Lieberman talked about one of the events that inspired her to write the book.
My grandfather killed himself in 1938. He'd come to America as a boy, and he started a business selling fruit in Philadelphia. He eventually cornered the lemon market. He was known as the Lemon King. And he lived in a very nice house in a posh part of Philadelphia where a lot of Jewish immigrants who made good lived, raised a family of 8 children. And then when the Depression came and his savings got wiped out in one of the bank collapses, he put his head in the oven in the basement of their house and killed himself.
Wow.
And growing up, this was always something that haunted me. You know, why would a father do this, leave his children? And my own father was very reticent. We would light a Yahrzeit candle on the anniversary of my grandfather's death. But apart from that, we never talked about it. And I think I worried a lot as a kid why a parent would do this. And I'm not sure this was consciously in my mind at the time that I chose the topic of suicide, but I think it was there somewhere in the background, this question of why.
It's one of the standard responses to suicide, isn't it? Let's not talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of a stigma attached to suicide. On the flip side, I think there's a kind of mystique. And one of the things that my book is trying to do is to probe the meanings of suicide, because I think there are many meanings and that some of them are contradictory. To say that it is simply a case of depression, it's some kind of a biochemical imbalance, a mental dysfunction, is to try and deny that there are these deeper levels of meaning, both in the minds of the individuals who are contemplating self-destruction and in the culture in which the decision to kill yourself takes place.
What kind of research did you do for this book?
I'm a 19th century French historian, so the examples that I draw on are suicide notes and police reports that I found in the archives. And let me just give you a couple of these because I think they'll illustrate what I mean. There was a young man, a pharmacist's assistant, 20 years old, who wrote a note to his guardian before he shot himself. And this is the exact language he used. He said, "It is Cellier who pens these words. I am going to die. That is a fact. Already my face is showing signs of the pallor of death. The hand that writes this will be cold and lifeless in a couple of hours, but a Dia Gaillard has too grievously wounded my heart for me to heed the call of that virtue to which I never seriously subscribed." You know, this is a guy who's read a lot of romantic novels, and when he is choosing to kill himself because this young woman broke his heart, he wants to draw on all of those associations. Now, I think he may have pushed it a little too far, because what he actually did was shoot himself beneath Adia's bedroom window so that, as he put it, "she may be the first to hear the pistol shot as I blow out my brains." I mean, that might be straining it just a bit.
That does seem a little more aggressive than personal, doesn't it?
I think that's part of the point here, that what a person tells themselves or tries to convince others they're doing as opposed to what they're really doing may be two different things. But because we have all of these cultural associations drawing on Greek and Roman antiquity, drawing on 19th century romantic literature, the novels of Rousseau were very influential as well. It's possible for ordinary human beings to try and portray themselves in these grandiose ways, as you said.
It is this question of who gets to define the act that is at the root of all of the writing that you've done, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is the question. And coming into the more modern era, this was an issue with one of the people I spend a lot of time talking about, the Austrian Holocaust survivor, Jean Amery. He had been active in the resistance. He was a man of the left and had fought with the Belgian resistance in World War II. And when he was captured by the Nazis, he was tortured and then put into Auschwitz. And when he was liberated from the camps, he refused to go back to Austria. In fact, he changed his name. He was born Hans Meyer. He changed his name to a French name and chose to settle in Belgium. And he would not write for a German audience. But gradually, he was persuaded that the world had learned the lessons from the Holocaust, and he was invited to give some lectures on German radio about his experiences. And these were very well received. And in the 60s, he was very optimistic about the possibility that, in fact, the terrible lessons of the Holocaust had been learned and that the world was improving. But then in the 70s, he came to feel betrayed. He felt that his colleagues on the left had become anti-Semites. He saw anti-Zionism as an anti-Semitism under a new guise. And on top of that, he was growing old, and he felt that he was losing to old age the dignity that he had struggled so hard to regain after having been tortured and having been brutalized in the camps. And so he gave a new series of radio addresses on German radio about suicide, where he very calmly and rationally told his audience that he intended to die, and then proceeded a short time later to kill himself.
At least in this case, he seems to have found a way to justify it. Some, again, might look at him and say he had hopes which were dashed and he gave up.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's clear that he was depressed. And yet you need to look at his reasons, look at some of the arguments he was making, which were philosophical arguments drawing on that heroic tradition. He was trained as a philosopher, so he knew what he was saying, and try and understand in his own terms what he believed he was doing.
So did you find in your studies a cultural justification for suicide that satisfies you?
What do you mean by a justification? Do you mean like there's a good reason and people should go ahead and do it if they have a good reason?
Aren't we talking about finding meaning in the act of suicide?
Well, I think in trying to understand meaning, there's a difference between doing that and taking the next step, which is saying, okay, you've got a good reason, go ahead and do it. The French Prime Minister, Georges Clemenceau, before he became Prime Minister, he was a journalist, and he wrote this one essay about suicide, where, because he lived in a Catholic country, he wanted to provoke, he wanted to startle people by taking this taboo subject and saying something provocative. So his essay ended with the words, "Et puis je vais te dire, si tu es trop fatigué, va-t'en." And let me tell you, if you're too tired, go ahead and do it. I mean, I'm not saying that, but I do feel that you have to understand that people have rationalizations that they give to themselves, and they also have ways of understanding the suicides of people around them. And very often, those rationalizations prevent us from looking at suicide honestly and seeing the truth that's there.
Lisa Lieberman is the author of Leaving You, The Cultural Meaning of Suicide.